This is a HeadGum Original.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Tell us, Mr. Wayne. What do you fear?
How do you know my name?
The world is too small for someone like Bruce Wayne to disappear. Your parents' death was not your fault.
My parents deserve justice.
I cannot let that pass. If you make yourself more than just a man, then you become something else entirely.
Witches.
A legend, Mr. Wayne.
Marshal Wayne, are you coming back for long, sir?
As long as it takes to show the people of Gotham their city doesn't belong to the criminals and the corrupt.
Bruce?
Rachel?
You were gone a long time.
I know.
Things are worse than ever down here.
What chance does Gotham have when the good people do nothing?
Nomex survival suit for advanced infantry.
Kevlar utility harness, gas-powered magnetic grapple gun.
What's that?
I'm on the tumbler. Oh, you wouldn't be interested in that.
I spent a lot of time being scared for you.
I heard you were back.
But the man I loved, the man who vanished, never came back.
He's here. Who? The Batman.
Dresses up like a bat, clearly has issues.
Batman Begins!
I'm Lauren Lapkus.
I'm Nicole Byer, and guess what? We're covering Batman!
This is the seventh episode of the sixth season of Newcomers. We are working our way through movies within the Batman universe with the help of fellow newcomers, super fans, sometimes even people who've contributed.
Guess what? This is going to be 14 episodes, culminating in a very exciting, live stream episode!
Anything can happen.
We're going to cover as much as we can, but we can't get to everything. And today, we are discussing the 2005 film, Batman Begins, starring Christian Bale. I didn't realize this was 2005.
Yeah.
This seems so current.
I know.
It seemed like today.
Yeah, it does. Batman Begins is available with a subscription on Max and Prime Video. And you can also watch it for a fee on Apple TV Plus, Google Play, and Vudu. And obviously, we're going to spoil the film.
We're going to go through it with the help of the Batman Wiki. We are so excited for our guest today. You better believe she's an actor. She's a writer. She's a comedian known for her work in shows like Veep, Comedy Bang Bang, Blunt Talk, Physical, the movie The Happiest Season. Ooh, movies. Sorry. Happiest Season, Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates, Senior Year and more. She also voices Jennifer and Tabitha in the Harley Quinn series. It's
Mary.
It's Mary.
Oh my, Mary, you're on Harley Quinn.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Way to keep that under wraps.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Why didn't you tell anyone?
What's because it's a secret.
Okay. No.
I want the viewers to, you know, get immersed in the world. I don't want them to be thinking about, oh, this is Mary.
You know.
Fair.
Okay,
you know. Fair.
But I just think you should have told
well,
me.
Well, yeah. Maybe I should have mentioned it.
Just a little group test. Wait, who's Jennifer and who's Tabitha?
They're characters.
Okay. Mary's like, I do not know.
I'm like, I don't know. I just go in the booth and
I
talk.
I scream in a mic and they make it make sense. Well, we can't wait to talk about Batman Begins with you today.
As I can't as
now,
well.
We want to know, what is your relationship to the character of Batman, the DC Comics universe?
I'm horny for him.
Okay.
I love.
So it's a sexual relationship.
Yes. Sexual relationship. I saw Batman Forever. I think that was my first Batman I ever saw. And I remember it being a sexual awakening for me for a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. Val Kilmer, I think to this day, Val Kilmer is Batman.
Batman he
is my favorite.
Forever is
Batman.
Your sexual awakening.
This
okay,
makes
I have
me
to wrap
happy.
My head around this.
I like this.
Yeah.
And then
I'm kind of on
Val
board.
Val Kilmer's
yes.
hot.
He's
yeah.
so hot.
But there's more to this story because I know who you're. Big crushes, and it's someone else in the film. And
who's your big crush?
My big crush, my biggest crush,
Tommy Lee Jones.
Yes,
really?
Yes, I love him. I think he's so hot, and in this movie, he's so hot
as Two-Face.
As Two-Face, there's something. Oh my gosh, he really just lets rip in this movie. He's such a great actor.
Yeah,
I just love his face so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I love. Two of his faces.
Yeah. Two you is know. Better than one.
Two is you know, better than one. Are you kidding
yeah.
me?
I get it. I really,
really
like him in Men in Black.
Sure. Oh, I've never seen that
so,
film.
You've never
oh my
seen
gosh,
Men in Black.
Lauren.
Men in Black is great. Men in Black 2
that
is not
make
good.
Any sense.
Men in Black 3 is wonderful, and I cried in the theater.
Okay.
You did? I didn't see Men in Black 3.
It was great.
I only saw the first one.
Was it M?
I love the first one.
I-I-I-B.
I believe so.
In black.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't like the second one.
Black.
First and three.
Okay, I'll add those to my list of 5 billion movies I've ever seen. It's going to be tough to get through them.
You're this, already getting your
actually,
through it.
I know we're doing a lot. I
yeah.
actually
a
was
lot.
Are you into horror films? I was going to ask.
I do like them.
Cuz I was curious after watching this, which I was very scared by many times. I thought, what if we did classic horror films we haven't seen?
I would do that in
I'm
a heartbeat.
Scared of horror films.
Yeah, I do
I
that too.
I love
yeah.
horror
yeah,
films. Yeah. When I was like, I don't know, like 11 or 12, I asked my mother to see The Exorcist because I just heard it was like one of the scariest movies.
Yeah.
And then my mom bought it. We had a sleepover. All the girls got so scared and I was just alone watching it in my living room as
oh
they like
gosh.
Did crafts with my mom.
I'm honestly nervous for the idea I just pitched. I was like, I don't want to watch it.
It's going to be fun.
I think it's a great idea.
Should we do that?
I think we should.
Okay. Let's think about it.
Okay.
We can look at the list and see what you haven't seen too, because
oh yeah, and I haven't seen a lot.
Oh good,
you know me.
I know
I've truly never seen a thing. It's surprising that I've seen The Exorcist.
It is. You went out of your way. You made an appointment. Okay, can we quickly say our thoughts about this movie and our experiences that we had watching the film?
Mm-hmm.
I will say, thought it was fantastic and was scared and interested the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goddess, I think I said earlier the dumbest sentence. I said, this movie really felt like a movie.
I know.
And
but
I
it
think,
did. It really
I
did.
I think what it meant by it is it felt very current, even though it's from like 2005.
Yes.
And I was engaged the whole time.
Yeah.
And I thought it was funny at parts.
Yeah.
I thought it was scary at parts.
Yeah.
I don't know. that Christopher Nolan might know what he's doing.
I know. Might just. I was also surprised to hear that it came out in 2005 because it does feel very current. It's so cinematic.
Yes.
And to me, Christopher Nolan really explores, I mean, in all the Batman movies, you know, Gotham is a dark city. Like, we're dipping our toes into the darkness. But with the Christopher Nolan Batman movies, it really feels like we're going to the drama of it.
Yeah.
We're really getting into the drama and the darkness. And I think it worked so well.
It was my favorite telling of the story.
Me too, because you never get a full backstory.
Yeah.
This gave you a backstory to a backstory to
it
a backstory.
It explained the bats. It explained his guilt about his parents'
how
death.
He can fight.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then how he can use all his tools. He doesn't do everything alone. And I really liked that.
Yeah. It made so much more sense to me. And Christian Bale, I thought, was like just...
Was really good.
So he's so great and everything. But like the difference between Batman and Bruce Wayne, I really
liked. Was very, very distinct.
Yeah.
I was like, tell me. I was like, oh my God, tell me.
I know
him.
That voice. Yeah. That voice.
Just I know. And Katie Holmes, who I didn't know was in this.
She's great in it.
And
I kind of like that they switched up the hot blonde to like a hot brunette.
Yeah.
I liked it.
And she's kind of like a girl next door, which like we don't get from any
of these. You get like a vampy, you know, lady.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was just like the girl next door who like loved him earnestly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Boy, oh boy. I loved this movie.
I know, me too. I actually was like, I could watch it again.
Same. Yeah. Oh, and I almost watched it again this morning to be like, did I get every morsel?
Yeah. It's truly amazing. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Batman Begins, and we're going to get so deep into it.
Remember in 2018 when border control separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents and deported the parents back to their home countries while keeping the kids in the United States? Well, believe it or not, 6 years later, there are hundreds of families who still have not been reunified. Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, I recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm-reduction-based practice. Since 2018, they've reunified over 100 refugee families ripped apart by Trump's zero-tolerance policy. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and counseling that they need in order to heal and get on their feet. Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you'd see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like me and believe that families belong together, join me in supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity to donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. altrolado.org/volunteer. Ooh, do you want to make your mom smile? Start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brand she loves. And guess what? It's delivered with the same day with DoorDash. Get 50% off your next order of up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now on DoorDash. And the promo code is NEWCOMERS. Listen, moms are a gift. I know that best. So give her the best this Mother's Day. Select from hundreds of expertly crafted bouquets to the best of tech to self-care essentials delivered right to the door. Get 50% off your next order up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with the code NEWCOMERS. That's NEWCOMERS. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply. Get a Mother's Day gift as unique as she is with DoorDash. We're back. So, okay, Batman Begins was released June. All of these movies were released in June.
Oh,
that's weird.
Yeah.
June 17th, 2005, written by Christopher Nolan and David S. Goyer, directed by Christopher Nolan. I've never seen another Christopher Nolan
movie. I don't know if I have. I don't know what they are.
What?
Yeah. I know his name. It's part of the zeitgeist.
Yes. Yeah.
I know he just did Oppenheimer.
Yes.
I almost just said Barbenheimer, and I was like, that's not the name of the fucking movie.
That's how they marketed it to us.
They
did. What your mouth did was incredible.
It got so small.
So the smallest I've ever seen. Oh, that got me good.
I can't do it again. It was a once in a lifetime opportunity. So,
wait, what other movies has he done?
Oh, Inception was probably a.
I saw that.
Interstellar.
I saw the poster. Never seen that.
Oh, I think I saw that. Was there something behind a bookcase?
I don't know about that. Matthew McConaughey, I think, was in that. Okay, I don't remember that very well.
But also Space?
Space.
Yeah. Okay.
Tenet, which came out during the pandemic. The Dark Knight.
Yes. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Okay, so I've seen two out of four that were named.
We're doing great. Memento, too, I think.
Memento?
Oh, I've seen Memento. Yeah.
I've never seen that, but
he did Memento? Memento is a really great movie.
I understand there's something about things going backwards.
As I understand it, there's something going backwards.
It's a man who doesn't have a memory, so he like tattoos shit to himself.
Oh, uh-huh.
But then he's also trying to save his wife, and then there's a twist about his wife.
Wasn't there that show on TV like not that long ago about that woman who was covered in tattoos that were about things that happened?
Oh yes,
oh yes,
yes. Oh,
I believe
what was
it
the
was
name
on
of that?
NBC.
Yes. And I loved her haircut. She had such
it was
a
nice
haircut. And it showed the back of her neck.
Yes,
and I was like,
so you could see
nice.
The tattoo.
Yeah. What was that?
I don't know.
Blind Spot.
Yes.
Yes.
Didn't watch it.
No.
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 Okay, well, let's jump into the plot of this film. And also, I recall when this movie was being filmed in Chicago, because it was kind of a big deal, they were shutting down, I believe it was Lower Wacker Drive, for when there's the big chase where he rides over the roofs and stuff. And he's like under the freeway.
Like
it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And so it was cool because there were like signs everywhere. And we're like, wow, a movie's being made here. Okay, so we, of course, want to give our gratitude to the Batman fandom
yes,
wiki.
Yes, lots of gratitude.
Thank you so much for everything we're about to hear. Okay, so here's how the movie begins. As a young boy of 8, Bruce Wayne falls down a well while playing on his manor grounds with his friend Rachel Dawes, where he is caught in a swarm of bats. Flashing forward in time, an adult Bruce, Christian Bale, wakes up from his memory dream in a Bhutanese prison. Is that how you say that?
I don't know. Okay. And you know I don't know.
Well, no one here.
Sounds right.
Bhutanese. Okay. Bhutanese. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
So after a prison brawl, an enigmatic. And that's a word we all knew.
We all knew
enigmatic.
I love how this is.
Sometimes, Mary, I have a tough time reading.
I'm
not good at cold reading.
A couple days ago, I couldn't read at all. And then you're like, I got it. And just started the whole thing over. I was like, Mary's fast. You know, well, I don't know.
Sometimes reading's hard for
both
of us.
Yeah, hey, reading's hard for everybody.
It is. It's like you're in school and it's your turn.
Yeah. What I would
you're
do
so
is I would read ahead just in case they called on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, cold reading's is not good for me.
It can create
It's like
nerves.
In an audition when they're like, do you want to just like read this new scene? And I'm like, no, you got to let me go outside read it.
Yeah.
Anyway, this man who identifies himself as Henry Duckard, Liam Neeson, who I love. Ooh, baby.
He's so great.
He's great, really, and good. I find him to be so sexy. Invites Bruce to join an elite.
He's no Tommy Lee Jones, but go ahead.
You're right. Honestly, you are right. I do think Tommy Lee Jones is more attractive. There's like a gravitas to Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
To join.
I'm happy for you guys.
To join an elite vigilante group, the League of Shadows, which is a dumb name, but I was like into it. Under the leadership of Ra's al Ghul, Ken Wantaby, Bruce is freed the next day and travels to the top of a Tibetan mountain to begin his combat training with the League.
Yeah, so Ra's al Ghul, of course it comes into play later, but I was confused enough during this part that the twist almost didn't get me later.
Oh.
I was kind of like, who did a what now? Like,
who is this?
Yeah, I
hear you. Yeah. It was pretty confusing.
I had
it
Mike explain that a little bit to me. I did watch it in three parts, so that's partly why.
Fair.
Yeah.
Because when I saw them, I was like, those mountain people weren't good?
Yeah.
And I was like, those mountain people weren't good.
Well, because it took a while to understand why he's doing this.
Yes.
Which I still was intrigued by, because I was like, this is just a really interesting start to this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it took me a while to fully
grasp. In a flashback, 8-year-old Bruce is rescued at the bottom of the well by his father, Thomas, Linus Roach, but he is left with a fear of bats. When Bruce and his parents attend the opera Mephistopheles...
Wow, a lot of words in here that are wild.
Bruce is frightened by the portrayals of bat-like demons in the performance. This scene really broke my heart. He and his parents exit into an alley where they are confronted by an armed mugger, Joe Chill, Richard Brake, who shoots and kills Bruce's parents. Chill is arrested and convicted for the double murder, but Bruce is left traumatized by the incident. The family's butler, Alfred J. Pennyworth, Michael Caine, best Alfred.
Oh my gosh, hands down.
Raises such Bruce a good Alfred. In the absence of his parents. The killing in the alley
was intense.
It was so intense. We've now seen it like at least five times.
But this kid was a good actor.
He was really good. And the like premise of it, that it's like his fault that they go outside.
Yes, because he was like, I didn't want to be in there. Also, I really liked Alfred, and I also like Morgan Freeman's character because it kind of felt like the devil and angel on Bruce's shoulder a little bit, where Alfred was like, don't do that.
Yeah.
And then and then Morgan Freeman's like, I'll order it.
I'll order it.
I'll order whatever you need. Whatever you need, and I'll cook it right up.
And it also made sense of... Like, of course, we know he's a billionaire, so we've always just taken that for granted. That's why he has this cave, and that's why he has all this stuff. But it was, like, it explained how he put it together.
Yeah. I really liked that.
I liked so much.
Yeah, it was this is an actual origin story, and it's funny that we're, I don't know, this is six?
We're
six
seven.
Movie? No, but we did I don't think that 1980 or 1966 follows this.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I think it starts with Batman.
Right.
But it's so funny that, like, we're six movies in and now we're just getting, an actual origin story.
Yeah.
And I have a question. In previous iterations of this scene with his parents, was it the Joker who did it?
In two movies, it's been the Joker.
Okay. Right.
I hate my life. And then Joe Chill, I guess, is from in the comic
book. In the comic book,
Wait,
was it the Joker in the Phantasm?
Yeah,
too?
Okay. and in
Batman.
Yeah.
Okay, so when Bruce becomes a young man, he returns home to Gotham City from Princeton University with a bad haircut.
But that was
they
perfect
basically
to make
were
it
just
look
like just brush it over his forehead.
It'll
make him look 10 years younger.
Yeah.
Intent on killing Joe Chill. I loved this, whose prison sentence was being suspended in exchange for testifying against the mob boss Carmine Falcone, Gillian B. Loeb. Chill is assassinated by one of Falcone's henchmen. Is it Falcone or Falcone? Falcone's henchmen, depriving Bruce of his opportunity. When Bruce tells his childhood friend Rachel Dawes, Katie Holmes, about his foiled plan, she expresses disgust, and she slaps him, and gives him a lecture about the difference between justice and revenge.
I know, I thought
slapped him twice,
really,
if I remember.
He's holding a gun and she slapped him. I was like, don't do that.
Ballsy. I think she knows Bruce and he's a little limpy.
Yeah.
Or back then.
But I loved this whole setup with the mob people and everything. Like, I was like, this is like it feels very realistic.
Yes.
Which I enjoyed.
I gotta say, this movie, it's a world. It was very world building.
Yeah. The crime underworld of Gotham. Yeah, yeah. You really got to see it.
And I think the way it was so grounded was really interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, because there aren't a lot, even when we get to the other villain, like the big villain, or there's a couple, but I mean, it's like, it's still more grounded than obviously, especially coming off Batman and Robin, where everyone's super silly and big costumes and stuff.
It's also funny because the party scene where Bruce is like, go home, da da da. I was like, yeah, that's a party I've been to. The party scene in Batman and Robin, I was like, nobody has been to a party that looks or feels like that.
No.
Not one person in America or anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
But yeah, this felt very real.
Right. And even the speech he made, all of the, and the feeling of it.
And boy, Christian Bale.
Oh, he's so my God. Good.
He's so good.
Oh.
And I was thinking of American Psycho, which I loved.
Did you know he based that character on Tom Cruise?
Nuh-uh.
That's crazy.
I think I read that somewhere, and I might be lying, but I'm 99%
sure. No, you're right.
Right?
Yeah, you're right.
That's amazing.
And then if you ever watch Tom Cruise in movies, he doesn't blink.
Yeah.
I just watched Collateral, and he barely blinks the whole movie. I was like, aren't his eyes dry?
That must be some sort of technique that he's doing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's
wild.
Something.
But I love American Psycho. Ugh,
yeah, me too. I know he's so awesome. I saw something. Okay. Realizing she's right, Bruce decides to confront Falcone himself, but the mob boss dismisses him as ignorant of nature of the underworld, saying, "You're Bruce Wayne, the Prince of Gotham. You'd have to go 1,000 miles to find someone who doesn't know your name," having his thugs rough him up. Realizing that Falcone is right and that he cannot truly understand what he intends to fight as a wealthy playboy, he abandons his life at home, stowing away on a cargo ship and traveling the world for nearly 7 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah. And this is how he gets to the where we saw him in the opening.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
he like falls in with some criminals, mm-hmm. he gets put in prison there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I really love also this sort of internal conflict that's happening for him, where this idea of vengeance versus mm-hmm. justice,
yeah,
and how, and his parents, my goodness, I mean, they couldn't have been nicer people.
Yeah, am I right?
Yeah.
So nice, so nice. Moral, so like mm-hmm. they're perfect people.
Yeah.
and then the League of Shadows with Liam Neeson, they're all about like you have to like justice and vengeance, they're the mm-hmm. same thing, and
yeah,
you can't have empathy or yeah. morals.
Yeah.
So interesting.
Yeah. I loved everything leading up to like trying to kill that man and then trying to like go to the mob boss himself. It's like just like an angry young man.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then just like leaving. It all just made so much sense.
Yes.
So Bruce associates with criminals to learn their ways. Ugh, I liked when he stole the apple and gave some to that kid. And it's and is thrown in a Boonies prison by police for theft, ironically, of Bruce Wayne Enterprise property. In his training, Bruce overcomes his fear of bats while under the hallucinogenic influence of a mountainside blue flower. However, Bruce soon realizes that he's forced to lead the League in its fight to restore order in Gotham by creating chaos and murdering its population. When Deckard orders Bruce to execute a murderer as a final test, Bruce refuses to obey and destroys the League's headquarters, killing Rot in the process. However, Bruce rescues an unconscious Deckard from the wreckage and leaves his mentor at a nearby village.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
yeah, certainly did.
20 years after the Wayne murders, Bruce returns to a Gotham City that is mostly ruled by Falcone and begins plotting a one-man war against the corrupt system. He returns to the well he fell down and discovers the Batcave for the first time. I also liked that because it's also organic.
Huge. Yes. Yeah. Can you believe how big that cave was?
It was so big.
It was so big.
I was like, wow.
Alfred informs him that Bruce
is... So the Batcave was super, super big.
Yeah.
And in Batman and Robin, Alfred said, "We're going to need a bigger cave." So I think that was a nod to Batman and Robin.
Wow. Okay.
You think that this person is wasting their time nodding to that? I don't think they have to do that. Oh, my God. Alfred informs him that Bruce's great-great-grandfather was involved in the Underground Railroad and secretly transported freed slaves to the north and suspects these caverns came in handy during that time. After reestablishing his connections to his father's company, Wayne Enterprises, Bruce is able to acquire, with the help of former board members Lucius Fox, Morgan Freeman, an armored off-road vehicle and an experimental body armor. He augments the suit with League of Shadows gauntlets and a special cape that can become a rudimentary hang glider. So it's all, first of all, his family helps freed slaves, which mm-hmm. I was like, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. So it's just another notch in them being like
very moral,
moral people.
Empathetic.
And then... I loved how naturally he acquired all of these things.
Yes.
Like it was such a good, just good
and
story.
And it wasn't boring.
Yeah.
It was like every step of the way I was like, uh-huh.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, I also love that he was so hands-on with it. Like it wasn't, Lucius Fox gave him mm-hmm. a lot of equipment, but he also, he spray-painted
himself.
In
himself. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
He like fashioned things. He's like a welder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who knew?
I know.
Who knew?
I appreciated that.
I did like the Underground Railroad thing because it was like American history, making it organic, but then also adding to you come from a line of people who help other people.
Yeah.
This is your heritage.
Yeah. I like that. Okay. Bruce then seeks the help of Police Sergeant Jim Gordon, Gary Oldman, who consoled him in the aftermath of his parents' murder. Bruce pays a visit to Gordon one night in disguise to establish communication.
During his first night as Batman, he disrupts a drug shipment by Falcone. He also disrupts an assassination attempt on Rachel, leaving her with evidence against a judge that has gone soft on Falcone in the past. He leaves the mob boss tied to a searchlight, forming a makeshift bat signal, which I thought that
was
cool.
Really fucking yeah. cool.
So cool.
Oh, wait, but first, I liked when he went to go see... Sergeant Gordon or whatever, and he like jumped away. He kind of like fucked up a little bit because he hadn't gotten everything all set up.
Uh-huh.
And I liked that.
I don't know if I know what you're talking about.
He was wearing not a bat thing.
That's right. He was wearing like a ski mask.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, right. Yeah. When he's just running like he looks like a thief, kind of.
Yeah.
And his voice clumsy. Wasn't in place. Yes. He hadn't done his warm-ups.
And I was like, isn't that fun? We got to see a dress rehearsal during the movie.
So it's like a process for him.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, totally. Bruce later runs into Rachel outside of a hotel where he was publicly on a date with two women. Later, in an interrogation room, Dr. Crane, Killian Murphy, a colleague of Rachel's, reveals himself to be the scarecrow to Falcone, spraying him with hallucinogenic spray and terrifying him.
That was scary.
Okay, that was scary. We on our previous show, I think Matt Gourley said the scarecrow was going to come into play in this.
Yes.
And so I knew that, but I didn't know who it was. And so I actively didn't Google, because I was going to look up something else. And I was like, I don't want to know. And I was surprised it was him.
Same.
Because I wasn't sure if it was going to be Falcone. And
ooh,
that was fun.
That's a good thinker.
He's a surprising scarecrow, though.
Yeah.
He does have such a sort of kind of bookish look about him.
Yes.
You wouldn't think it. And then it's also like the mask itself, like you put that on with no hallucinogenic.
Yeah.
You're
gonna be scared. That's scary. Yes.
And you add that
so
on.
And it's so freaky.
Like, it's so scary.
And it felt like it was such a cool, the CGI or whatever was so awesome. I thought it was like really.
It looked really cool. His name is Killian. I asked for clarity on that from Mike,
but if it's wrong,
then we know who to sue.
Yeah, we'll sue Mike.
I also like that this hallucinogenic, it makes, like, you get to experience, as the person who's seen what comes out of the scarecrow's face, is what they're scared of.
Yeah.
So it's not the same for every person, which I think is really
cool. And then when that happens later with Batman's face to him, that was fun.
That was wild.
Ooh.
That,
yes.
The bubbling, like, black. Yeah. I was like, oh!
Yeah,
this movie looked, like, fun to work on. I don't know. It was really great. While investigating the unusual drugs in the shipment, Batman is stunned by the scarecrow, who sprays him with a powerful hallucinogenic as well.
Mm-hmm.
After being set on fire by a scarecrow, this whole scene was so, I was like, there are so much stakes in this
There's
movie.
There's so much.
And I was like, wait, Batman's done now? And I was like, he can't be. There's a lot of movie left.
He's fully on fire.
Yes. And okay. So Batman escapes, puts out the fire that's on him. Batman is rescued by, I did love the phone call. He's like, come get me, Alfred. So he's rescued by Alfred, administered an antitoxin developed by Fox. 2 days later, Bruce awakens on his 30th birthday.
30?
That
doesn't
seem
quite right to me. But I went with it as a viewer. That's the one thing I wasn't sure about with this movie.
Yeah.
But
I was like, I buy 37.
But I love him just walking out like, it's my birthday. Like, it's like He's so good at playing
that playboy.
Yes. It's the American Psycho ish, like the sort of like cocky attitude and like,
You also realize how little, like, I could count on one hand the amount of times I've seen Christian Bale smile.
Yeah, he doesn't.
And,
really
but
smile.
As Bruce Wayne, he really smiles.
Yeah.
He
does.
It's a totally different face.
It is a different face. That's really interesting.
His teeth are really interesting.
His mouth is interesting.
Okay, because I don't know if it was fangs. I was like, it sort of felt like he has like front teeth on the sides. Like they're very like thick, solid teeth on the side.
I think he has really strong canines.
I
think so too.
Them.
A dentist dream.
dentist.
Let me floss
him.
Those puppies all night long. So the scarecrow later poisons Rachel after showing her that the toxin, which was revealed to only be harmful in vapor form, is being piped into Gotham's water supply.
Uh-oh.
She's saved by Batman. The police enter the asylum and Batman escapes with Rachel in his tank. So did we say? Okay, yeah. So he basically makes Falcone go crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which helps him for some reason. I don't really know why. He just wants him to go
crazy. I think it's because Falcone is working with Cillian Murphy's character.
Yeah.
And he's like going to rat out Killian, and then he's like, no, you're not. You're not going to do anything.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you crazy.
You're gonna lose
so the part where they take, so he, Scarecrow is like, as Dr. Crane, he's like telling Rachel that Falcone's actually gone mad or whatever. And then she's like, I don't believe you. Like, you put something in his blood. I'm going to get this tested. I'm going to have somebody come here. And he goes, okay, that's fine. You can do that. And I'm going to take, why don't I show you where the medicine is made? And then he takes this very creepy basement.
Which is so scary.
And it was also very pandemic-y because everyone's wearing masks making the toxin, which that part almost didn't strike me as odd at all.
That's,
it just seemed like a room full of people in masks. So I was like,
okay.
But they're in like red jumpsuits, like dumping toxic waste into the
There's like a broken
sewers.
Pipe that they're just dumping it into.
Yeah. And she gets so scared, and then she tries to get away, and then he scarecrow faces her.
And gave her like a real concentrated dose. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So she was like
real fucked up.
Yeah, real fucked up.
Yeah. And then they race to get her to the Batcave. So after administering the antidote to Rachel in his cave, Batman gives her two vials of it for Gordon. One for the detective to inoculate himself.
Yeah.
And another to mass reduce for the city's population.
Again. I fucking hate
it's okay.
it. I know you said it's fine.
It's part of this. Okay.
But I don't want to say it.
But you can. Nailed it's it. Fine.
I nailed it.
I like don't even hear it anymore.
I said it really quiet and I went, fuck.
Wait, is this isn't the chase where all the cops are on Batman's tail? Is that later?
I think this is late. That's later because
I thought that's when he was getting Rachel to the Batcave.
Oh no, maybe it is.
Yes,
no,
I
it
can't
is.
Believe
it is.
That the Bat Wiki, okay, Bat Wiki didn't go more in depth in it. That was one of the best
the highlights.
Yeah,
of
that's
film.
Actually
it was an incredible
wild.
Chase. Okay. There was funny parts
I
to
can't
it.
Handle how the Batman fandom wiki
wow.
blew that.
You guys. It was an incredible chase. I loved when the cops yes. were like, what does it look like? They're like, a black tank?
Yeah,
and they're like, well, but like what? And they're like, oh, I see it. Like, that was really
yes.
funny to
and
me.
And when
they're
flying on the roof,
yes.
remember? That was
yes.
so
cool. He's flying
cool.
over roofs, and he's
yes.
like, and they're all coming crushing apart and something. He just jumps over
ugh,
back on the highway.
I mean,
it was so awesome.
It was
so
really
cool.
fucking cool.
And then Rachel's like coming to me. He's like, breathe deeply. And she's like,
and she's like, Rachel! And then I liked when he like shoots forward and under and is like on his stomach to like...
Oh my
shoot
gosh,
things?
That was so cool.
I was
yeah.
like,
and then
yeah.
also how when they got to the Batcave, how he like how he
and then
how the car like jumped over that body of water and through the waterfall.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, so
yeah, the waterfall.
Cool.
Yeah.
The waterfall
I was
so
sitting
cool.
there going, how do they make this? I have
yes.
no idea.
I thought about trying to Google like a making of
yeah.
cuz I was like, how many collaborators collaborated yeah. on this? How is it written in the original script?
Right.
Like, all of it was just, how did you decide who was going to lay flat to shoot guns in the thing?
Yeah.
It was just really, it was really fucking cool.
Yeah,
yeah, so cool.
And it had to be planned
yeah.
out really
yes.
specifically, so it's not like there's some sort of last minute, like,
yeah.
now you'll just lay over here.
Yeah,
like,
just lay down.
Yeah. Like, the other movies, that could happen.
Oh,
like, where
absolutely.
It's kind of like, why don't you try like this? Like, this had to be like a math problem. So, I don't know. It was amazing.
Yeah. And I wonder how much was CG and
yeah.
how much was practical.
Because it didn't feel
It didn't feel at
CG.
All.
Yeah.
Anyway,
later, whatever. Later at a party held at his mansion, Bruce, much to his surprise and shock, is confronted by Ducard and a group of ninjas from the League of Shadows, who then reveal themselves to be the real Ra's al Ghul, the former person who died being a decoy. So this is where I had to go like, wait, what just happened?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He gets introduced to Ra's al Ghul.
By a, like a unassuming old white lady who's like,
yeah.
you've got to meet this man.
That part
yeah,
was so,
why was she,
I loved
she's
her.
She's like, you got to meet him. I think his name's Ra's al Ghul. Did I say that right? And then he's like, that's not Ra's al Ghul, because I watched you die. And the lady's just standing there like,
she's like, this is going well.
pretty weird. Oh, so you've met?
Yeah, have you met? You have a lot in common,
you guys know
I
each
think.
Other. Well, he is at your party. And then that's when we understand that that guy was not the real
yes.
Ra's, and the person that he saved, Liam Neeson, mm-hmm. was.
Yes, was the real. Yes.
Yes. Bruce, tricking his guest into leaving, fights briefly with Ra's while the League of Shadows set fire to Wayne Manor, which
and this
is
was really
so
intense.
Fucked up.
So like, okay, so I didn't. Fucked. Here's what I thought was about to happen, and I don't know how off. I mean, I clearly was off because it wasn't what happened, but I don't know how crazy it was. Like Ra's was like threatening him,
yeah,
and then I thought, oh, is he about to reveal Batman's identity?
Mm-hmm.
And so when Bruce kind of decides to play drunk and make that speech, I thought he was going to say, I'm Batman, and everyone go, ha, 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 and then it would fuck up whatever Ra's
yeah.
going to do. But then he, so his angle of being like, I hate all of you, get the fuck out of here, you
mm-hmm.
losers. I was like, oh, this feels so mean. I felt
yeah. mean, and it was cringy, and it was like embarrassing,
yeah.
but like I got
but
why
real.
He was doing
but,
it.
And it was
and
such
it
a cool tactic.
Sense.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
people
yeah.
are like, oh, Bruce Wayne's like, a spoiled
and,
yeah.
fucking Christian Bale. When he was like, when he decided to be drunk,
yes.
I was like, the change in him was
so
like subtle, but
yes,
clear.
But very clear.
I just loved it.
Should we go to the Christian Bale School of Acting?
I think we should.
I have two things to say. First of all, I thought it was really interesting because that in that speech that Ra's al Ghul gives to him. He's like, guess what? League of Shadows is behind every major disaster that's ever happened. Mm-hmm. The bubonic plague, the like, that's the only one I can think of. But like any like disaster that has sort of eliminated, you know, massive populations of cities, they're behind it, which I thought was so interesting.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to say is just to speak to the earlier when Christian Bale's trying to come up with what he's going to be, because he can't be Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
What is he going to be? How he said he was like, I have to be fear itself. I have to be elemental.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's okay, keep going. No. I remember what I want to say.
Let's see. So where were we?
Setting fire?
So they set fire to Wayne Manor. Bruce escapes the inferno with Alfred's help. I loved it. All those push-ups and you can't lift this. I love Alfred. Just as the manor is destroyed, Roz, who's been conspiring with the Scarecrow the entire time, plans to destroy Gotham by distributing the toxin, which was extracted from the mountainside blue flowers, undetected via Gotham's water supply, and then vaporize it with a microwave emitter stolen from Wayne Enterprises. I gotta say, the plan is even more realistic than any other. Like, in Batman and Robin, they used mirrors and the sun and, like, maybe the equator.
They literally, like, heat up a frozen city.
Put a mirror on Africa and send it over here. I was like, what are you talking about? Batman wants to trail Ra's and arrives at the Narrows section of Gotham to aid the police who are engaged in battle with psychotic criminals set free from Arkham Asylum by the League. After saving Rachel and intimating his identity to her, which I was always like, the woman always finds out. He leaves Gordon in control of the Batmobile to stop the elevated train that is being used to transport the vaporizer to the city's central water hub. Batman battles Ra's, then escapes just as Gordon topples the elevated line using the Batmobile's missiles, leaving Ra's to crash with the train to the ground.
And he was like,
I'm not going to kill you.
Yes.
But I don't have to save you.
I don't have to save you.
And it was
cool. I was like, I really loved that. I was like, ooh, Batman.
Yeah.
Also, I liked the callback of the guy, the homeless man with the jacket.
Yes.
And he's like, nice jacket.
Yeah.
That was so fun.
Yeah. I like that.
He's like, thanks.
I liked the kid who's like, you're Batman.
Yeah.
And then they'll never believe me. And then he threw him like a little bat gadget. Thing. And I was like, oh my God, he is the city's hero.
I also love the repeating of the, I mean, it's going to make me cry just saying it. You know, the question that his dad asked him at the very beginning, which is, why do we fall? Why do we fall, Bruce? So we can learn to pick ourselves back up.
Oh, my God.
It is a good line.
It's so
and
good.
And it is a thing in real life.
Yes.
Because it's like, when you fail, you don't just give up. You pick yourself up and you figure out how to, like, go on.
Yeah.
I feel you on that.
Ugh.
Okay. Following...
I feel nothing.
Following the battle, Batman becomes a public hero. Bruce gains control of Wayne Enterprises and installs Fox as CEO.
This
was great. And then the Batman wiki didn't really talk anything about this William Early man who was like not nice and
running Wayne Enterprises
and like made it go public. However, he's unable to hold on to Rachel, who cannot reconcile her love for Bruce Wayne with his dual life as Batman. When she was like, what did she say? She essentially was like, Batman is who you actually are.
Yeah, and this is, and she's like, this is your mask, when he was like, just Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
And I was like,
she's not wrong.
But I was like, still date him.
Yeah, date him.
Yeah, I was confused. And also, they just shared quite a smooch.
They did.
And really after hot, that, you're going to
you
say.
You know him really well. He's a billionaire and he's Batman.
Yeah,
two things that I like.
Rachel?
Yeah.
Wild.
I don't like billionaires. Let's get that clear.
Gordon, newly promoted to lieutenant, unveils a bat signal for Batman and mentions a new criminal that, like Batman, has a taste for the theatrical, leaving a Joker playing card at his crime scenes. That was great.
Yeah.
This
Loved
is a great,
it.
Yeah. very natural lead into, like, you're going to see a little bit more of this.
Yeah.
Batman promises to investigate, and Gordon mentions that he forgot to thank Batman for his efforts. Batman replies by saying that he'll never have to, as he takes off into the night. Also, Batman in this movie flies much cooler than any other Batman.
He looks cool. And then the scene where he unleashes all those bats.
Oh my God.
That was amazing. There's like 10,000 bats like going that was cool. crazy, crashing through the windows,
so cool.
terrorizing everybody. And then he like flies through them like a cyclone. Mm-hmm. And it was so cool. Oh,
I also love that scene. This is early in the movie, but when he's in the bat cave and he disturbs the bats and they do the same thing. Yeah. They fly around him. And he like rises from within the spiral. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. It was so cool. That was so powerful. Cool.
Was this movie a cinematic masterpiece? I feel like it was.
So. Yeah. I feel pretty good about saying that.
I was like, as I was watching it, people who like love Batman and like loved like the 1989 one probably like went nuts for this.
Yeah.
We're probably like, finally, we're being taken seriously. Or maybe they didn't like it. Well, it was too serious.
We honestly will find out.
I don't know.
We're
going to find out with awards and receptions.
Oh,
so
I see.
Batman Begins ranked at the top in its opening weekend, accumulating $48 million. The film's 5-day gross was $72.9 million, beating Batman Forever from 1995 as the franchise high.
Wait a minute.
That's a travesty.
It doesn't sound like enough money.
No.
It doesn't.
Why didn't more people go?
I don't know.
Doesn't
you gotta get in a time machine and see what the people were talking about.
Yeah, what else came out?
It holds 85% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I think is too low.
Yeah, I think it should be
99. Like 99, 98. Oh, yeah. This was a cinematic.
Hundo?
Yeah, I maybe 100.
Yeah, 100% fresh. Batman Begins has been cited as one of the most influential films of the 2000s. On the film's 10th anniversary, Forbes published an article describing its lasting influence. Reboot became part of our modern vocabulary, and superhero origin stories became increasingly en vogue for the genre. The phrase dark and gritty likewise joined the cinematic lexicon, influencing our perception of different approaches to storytelling, not only in the comic book film genre, but in all sorts of other genres as well. Sure.
This wasn't in our trivia for the last episode, but I read that Kevin Feige from Marvel said that Batman and Robin was one of the most important comic book movies ever made because it told everyone what not to do.
Okay. Wasn't sure where your sentence was going.
I also think that this movie was so influential because also it was this idea of taking a comic book story as seriously as you possibly could, like infusing it with such high stakes and so much drama and making it serious. Mm-hmm. Like if the Joker, you know, as a villain, you anticipate him not being a goofy villain.
Yeah.
You know he's going to be really, really scary.
But now I want to see all the other villains like this. Like I want to see Poison Ivy like this. I want to see Catwoman like this. Penguin, I'd love to see like a realistic like Penguin.
Yeah.
I
agree.
Well, I agree too. So
yeah. And it's so funny because Joel Schumacher would scream before each take on Batman and Robin, "Remember, this is a cartoon."
Yeah. It told us so much.
That's funny. That does.
Which is so and this is like truly the polar opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time for trivia.
No Wayne.
Was I supposed to say that?
We could take it again.
Yeah, be
it's
great.
Time for some trivia.
No way.
Harry.
Sorry.
Close enough.
Okay.
Contrary to the previous Batman movies in which the Batcave was realized as a combination of a live set and matte paintings done either by hand or computer, no visual effects were used in this movie to show the Batcave.
That's what I love.
Me too. The entire Batcave is instead a massive full-scale set. I love that.
Love that too. And
it
I feel
makes
like
such a difference.
I have not seen the Barbie movie, but I've heard a lot of people's compliments to it. It's like they were actual sets. And I'm like,
it's cool.
Yeah, let's just use sets.
Practical effects are so, they have so much more impact.
Mm-hmm. That's why I love so many like 80s movies like E.T. and stuff where it's like it's an actual animatronic thing or whatever it is.
Like Neverending Story. Yes. And, like,
the old Star Wars where I prefer when it's more practical. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. sorry.
Not that I'll ever watch it again, but you get my point.
Writer and director Christopher Nolan is reported.
Reputed.
Oh my God, I really can't read.
It's okay.
Reputed to have been so fascinated with Cillian Murphy's bright blue eyes that he kept trying to find reasons for him, ways to have Crane remove his glasses.
Honestly, his eyes.
It was pretty effective. Like when he took off the glasses, to like lean in to say something more serious and then to put the mask on him and like do the little vapors. Yeah. I was like, this is...
He's really handsome in this really like sort of model-esque way.
Yes. That's...
And a little like unsettling.
Yeah, like, yes. Like it feels like he's... Like yeah. got up to no good.
Yeah, yeah. His eyes are very chilling.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're beautiful, but they're really icy. And, yeah. and chilling. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
I get it. Hey, Chris, I get it.
I get why you did that, Mr. Nolan. On the set, the costumed Christian Bale constantly had two people trailing him to keep the bat suit smudge free.
Oh, oh wow! Can you imagine?
No that Doritos been... for lunch.
I'm the de-smudger.
While shooting on the streets of Chicago, a person accidentally crashed into the Batmobile.
Can you imagine?
The driver was apparently drunk and said he hit the car in a state of panic, believing that the Dark Knight's vehicle to be an invading alien spacecraft.
Okay.
That's crazy.
That's really funny. But truly, imagine being hammered and seeing that and being like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean...
I guess I'll just crash right into it.
Yeah.
What a wild drunk person.
Yeah.
Because I've been on sets where we shoot in the street and there's a cop at
there's
either
so
side.
There's so many things
and
blocking cones, you from getting to
and
that.
And there's things. Yeah. Maybe they just crash right through it all.
Probably.
They're like, aliens!
That's wild.
Yeah, that's
all
nuts.
Right. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll be back with more Batman Begins after this.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery right now, where would I put it? Ooh, I mean, I'm kind of looking to connect with friends. I'm also looking to retreat a little bit and be by myself. It's hard to know exactly what you need at any given time. And it can be so easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up so much. After the winter, the spring is here. Well, what's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I started therapy when I was about 30 and it was so, so helpful for me for learning about myself, learning about boundaries, learning about my relationships with other people and how to deal with other people. There's so many things you can benefit from therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/newcomers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/newcomers.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
We're back, and I want more trivia. I want to know more about this
movie.
I need
more facts.
Like,
yeah.
Fill me up, Daddy. I need to know more.
Fill me up with facts. Holy Batman, Batman.
Yeah.
In this new segment, now this is a really fun one, Mary.
Okay.
We're going to rate Christian Bale on the definitive newcomers Batman scale. So we're going to use our phones with these little QR codes.
Yes.
Oh.
And then we're going to fill out
a form that tells us on a preparedness scale, how prepared is this Batman? Does he get to use his little gadgets and tools? Detective ability, does this Batman get to be a little detective? Is he good at mystery solving? Voice graveliness, how gravelly is this Batman's voice? Sadness, how lonely, brooding, emo is this Batman? And finally, hotness slash horniness, how hot and or horny is this Batman?
This is freaking cool.
Yeah. So we'll take a moment. Everyone can do this.
I mean...
what
to tell you.
That's why I laughed.
Oh, I literally was doing the same thing, but I gave a sadness. Okay. did you rank? Okay. So this is great. This has ever happened. Holy Batman, preparedness, 100%. I mean, he was 100%
he was so
prepared.
And we saw him getting prepared.
We understood how he got prepared. Yeah, it wasn't random. Detective ability. He was 100% detective.
He was in
able.
There. He was he figuring was, shit out.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. He was asking questions. He said, let me align myself with the police before I really get into it. He had pictures for Katie Holmes.
And he knew Ra's al Ghul's like plan and how he could thwart it.
Uh-huh. Yes. Voice graveliness, 100.
Oh,
this is actually,
100%.
Everyone before has not been doing it. No. This is it.
He did
This is
a
real distinction. Yeah. And boy, it made me horny. Also, I enjoyed that his bat cape, no, cap, helmet.
Yeah.
Hat. I think it's a hat.
But
hat.
It covered like the sides of his jowls like a little
bit.
Where I was like, that's a little bit more like a...
Of a disguise.
Yes.
And his eyes had like makeup around, like his
eyes,
like around the eyes itself. So it blended into the mask.
Yeah,
was
it was really,
really
well done.
Yeah.
And sadness, God. I think everyone said 100%, but I gave him 88. I feel like he was sad more in the beginning.
I felt like he got
a little less sad near the end.
I still think there's a sadness within.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes, that will never.
Because I think in the end, he's rejected by a woman he loves. That's like another.
So true. I should give him 100.
But after she rejects him, they're holding hands, walking over the ruins towards Alfred. I'm
because they're going to remain friends, but they know they can't be together because... his true love is fighting crime.
I mean, go out to dinner.
I would be okay with him leaving to go fight crime.
They
can't have spaghetti.
No.
They
no,
can't have spaghetti.
Well, what if they Lady and Tramp?
You're right. It's all over from there. Okay, and then hotness, horniness, obviously 100%.
Is he married?
I love
Christian Bale.
And interestingly, here's some trivia about this movie. I believe he met his wife on this movie because she was Katie Holmes' assistant.
Oh my word!
It could happen to you.
That's Meghan Markle shit. Oh my God!
I really love that.
Okay, hold on.
I want to make sure I'm right about that, but I think I am.
I even love Christian Bale in that Marvel movie where he's all ashy. I think it's the last Thor movie. Ugh, I love Christian Bale in everything.
Oh, he's so good.
Okay, well this can't be true because they got married in 2000.
Oh, then
it's not true. But I feel like he met her. I feel like she was an assistant to some actress.
She's a former model.
Shoot.
But
where
I
get this from?
I like what you're saying.
She was an assistant to clothing.
And they have two children.
And they keep
their life very private. Yeah. I carry a picture of them with me all the time, he said in 2009.
Oh, I thought you were saying you do. And I was like,
I do now.
Wow.
Okay. Well, that was really fun. I wish I had just given it 100 because it would have been better. But
wait,
you know,
his wife's name
wasn't sad enough for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Sibby.
Yeah.
Sibby.
So we have a new segment called Terry Killam's new segment. What?
So she did work on Dark Knight Rises. So you're not wrong about that.
But what? Later. Yeah.
Okay, she worked as Winona Ryder's personal assistant.
That's what it was.
Oh.
On Little Women.
Yes, Little Women.
Yes.
And that's where they met.
Whoa.
And she was previously a model, makeup artist, and became a stunt driver.
I'm sweating. Right now.
I would be sweating, but honestly, I love that. I'm so glad you found
got
that.
Got to the bottom of that.
Great job. Even hotter because I need to rewatch Little Women.
I love Little Women. I can't watch it without sobbing.
I haven't seen that one since it came out, I feel like. I've never seen the new one, but he's so great.
He's so great. He and Winona are so fun together. Like, he's
gonna
so
be a
funny.
Christian Bale.
If you want to see a fancy free Christian Bale, like that's the movie to see. Like,
does he
really
dance?
Playful and fancy free. Yes, and he does voices
like
and
Newsies.
Does and, like Newsies.
Wow.
Oh,
ooh, wait. I haven't
Christian
seen
Bale's
Newsies.
This is Taryn Killam's new segment. How did the score? Okay, we obviously talked about the music and score and soundtrack on previous few movies, but decided to officially incorporate Taryn's brilliant segment into our episodes from now on. So we want to give one sentence opinion on the score or soundtrack of this film.
I really loved it. I thought it really helped the tone and like the swelling of the music. And then like it was like low at times. I really loved it.
I agree.
Loved it. As film scores are my favorite genre of music.
What?
Because you like the Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can say that.
Let's just say. I love film scores so much. I listen to them as just on their own, just music. There's so many composers I love. I believe Hans Zimmer did this
from the Lion King fame.
That's right. He talks about. I watched a documentary about how he developed the score for Christopher Nolan's movies, and if he only used two notes, and he was like, for the main like motif for Batman, and if you like watch it back, it's just that.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, it was very funny.
It's just those two notes,
but like I got it. But that's interesting. That's like it's Jaws, like
exactly.
So it's like no matter like if you draw it out a little bit, but it still gives you like
I think
like
he talks
a full
about that
feeling of like fear.
Yes, fear and
unsettled.
Yes, and like something's coming.
Yes.
Yes, a dread or an anticipation or something.
I just learned that from my voice lessons.
Wow. Are you singing the Jaws lessons? Theme in your voice lessons?
I'm just like, da-na. No, we were talking about musicality and singing, singing something sad or singing something bright and happy and how the music follows it. It's this man named Doug who's really incredible. If you want his info, if either of you want his info, I'll give it to you.
I might at some point.
He's truly so nice. And yeah. I love him.
That's so cool. Okay, it's time for five kapows. Time for reviews. Now, we will once again this season be reading reviews from Letterboxd, and then we will each give the film a one-sentence review ourselves and a star rating. For anyone who doesn't know, Letterboxd is a social platform where people can write reviews of films, and you can follow our show on Letterboxd at Newcomers. Do you use Letterboxd, Mary?
Yeah.
I'm on Letterboxd.
You are? That's surprising.
Are you active?
No. but I do follow some friends on there but it's really fun to like see what
gone
how
to
people write
and like, I should explore
We've
this.
Talked about
it's
this really for fun. Years and I've never been.
We have an active page ourselves that we have never seen.
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Are we active on it?
Yeah. Well, because we always post what we said.
Yeah.
We do?
Well, I assume.
Yeah. We take notes on exactly what your one sentence review and we post it for each movie.
Sometimes I wonder if I'll ever be smarter or like fully cognizant of what happens
you
in my world.
You need to know this.
Your job is just to sit down
you
and
just
start talking
deliver
about
the
You come
goods.
Up with the review. You don't need to worry about putting
where
it
goes and what happens to it from here.
This is the sixth season of the show and I had no idea that what I'm saying season? Is published.
Oh yeah. I've always assumed it is, but I've never looked into it. So,
boy,
you know.
People must be like, she's dumb.
We have amazing
some
producers who do great things for us, who make us look like we're really pulled together, and that's so awesome.
You guys have 1,667 followers.
What?
We do?
Let's get them.
And do people comment on what we say? This is so funny that I don't even understand how it works.
I don't know if you can.
People like your reviews.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I like that you can't comment on it.
Me too.
Nice.
I think there should be less commenting.
I agree.
All across the board online. Okay, so this is a 4-star review from Rafi. Questioned whether Christian Bale was handsome. Final decision is yes. My roommate said wee every time he used the bat wings, and I would highly recommend doing that.
That is fun.
So let's think of our one sentence reviews for the film. Mary, you're included in this, and your star rating as well.
Okay.
I'm giving it 5 stars.
Yeah.
Christian Bale is the definitive Batman.
Yes!
Woo! This Gotham City is the definitive Gotham City.
Yes!
Everything in this is canon. Nothing else exists before this.
Wow. One sentence.
Yeah. That's
boy,
one
oh
sentence.
Boy. I love
Get
it.
Those semicolons.
You zeroed in on one point in the room and we're like, this. You've done things with your face today that I
didn't
wish
even know
I
was possible.
They didn't know. They didn't know people.
They'll stay with me. I'll giggle right before I go to sleep today, remembering how tiny your mouth got today.
I'm going to look in the mirror later and try to do that.
Okay, Mary, do you have a review?
Yes. Guess what it is? 5 stars.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yay! That's great.
I love it. Okay, my star rating is also 5 stars.
Yes! Ah, 15 stars.
Yeah, 15 Does this ever stars. Happen? I don't think it's ever happened. Yeah. Has it ever happened on yet?
I don't think so.
Me either.
We've never loved something.
No, and my review is loved Batman and Robin. Interesting sequel to it. Christian Bale is my everything. Mm-hmm. All the boys in this were hot, hot, hot.
Yeah.
Good stories. Love Morgan Freeman. Alfred Yum.
yeah.
Alfred Yum.
Alfred Yum. Yum. Cillian Murphy. Yum, 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 yeah. Yummers. And then the man who got that jacket. I loved him.
Oh, yeah. He's
yeah.
great.
Really great.
That was more than a sentence, but you know.
So was mine. Now it's time for the best part of the show where we read reviews mm-hmm. from people about our podcast.
Yes.
So okay. We got 5 stars from Ophelia_titties.
That's a good drag name.
Ophelia Titties.
Ophelia Titties.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah. It's a great titties. Pun that I've yeah. never heard before.
I've never
That's
heard that.
Great.
Yeah.
Come back. I'm running out of episodes and my 1.5 hour each way commute is too long to do this without you.
That's too long,
that
friend.
That is too long.
I think you need to get a job closer to your home. Unless this is something that you love, you can't be spending 3 hours a day yeah. traveling for work.
I mean, can you do it on Zoom?
Yeah, do it on Zoom. Okay.
It's our advice. It's our advice segment where we tell reviewers things they should change about their
and
lives.
That they didn't ask.
Based on the review.
We want you to write us a review on Apple Podcasts because guess what? We're going to pick one to read on the next episode. And also, we love 5 stars. Also, please rate the podcast on Spotify.
We only accept 5 stars.
Yes.
And it only takes you half a second
half
to do
a second.
It. Mary, thank you for being
thank
here.
Thank you so much.
Thank Is there you. Anything you would like to plug?
I mean, check out the season of Newcomers.
Wow.
That's nice.
It's so
really
good.
Sweet. Thanks, Mary.
I'm going to say,
thanks for having me.
Watch Mary in anything she's ever done. She's delightful mm-hmm. and fun so to watch cool. and grounded and funny.
Yeah.
And just really wonderful. Just a nice person all around.
I Thank agree.
You. That means a lot. Thank you.
You really are so funny. And I'm so anytime you're on my TV, I'm like, oh, boy. I'm
red
funny.
God. I think that's the general consensus.
The funniest. Yeah. Oh, God. Thank you.
We'll be back next week with The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Wait, do your goodbye like that.
Goodbye.
Newcomers is a production of HeadGum Studios. Our producer is Ali Khan. Our executive producer is Anya Konovskaya. The show is edited, mixed, and mastered by Ferris Manchi, who also composed our theme song. Follow us on Letterboxd @Newcomers and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We might just read it on the next show. Na 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 bye!
That was a HeadGum original.